All right, this morning we're going to learn more about the scripture. And of course, one of the books that the people seldom read is the book of Leviticus, because there's so many stuff inside and sometimes you don't quite understand what God is trying to say. And so this morning we're going to study a portion of that scripture and try to gain some understanding. And you'll be surprised, there are a lot of stuff in there which I would say very insightful. Revelational. All right, so there are two chapters that I'd like to read. First is from Leviticus chapter 23. And then after that, Leviticus chapter 25. I read the first portion and I'll skip and I'll go to verse 47 to verse 55. As I said, the main focus of my subject is actually on Jubilee. All right, so let's read, and then later we will see the significance and the meaning of Jubilee. All right, first verse, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 3. Just one verse. Is everybody there? Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do a work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. And then Leviticus chapter 25, I'll read from verse 1 to verse 28, and then I'll skip and go to verse 25 right through to the end of the chapter. All right. Leviticus 25 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. What grows of its own accord of your harvest you shall not reap, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine, for it is a year of rest for the land. And the Sabbath produce of the land shall be for food for you, your male and your female servant, your hired man, and the strangers who dwell with you, for your livestock and the beasts and that are in your land, all its produce shall be for food. And you shall count 7 Sabbath of years for yourself, 7 times 7, and the time of the 7th Sabbath of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. And it shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year shall be jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the fruit of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from the neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress any one another. According to the number of years after Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years of crop, he shall sell to you. According to the multitude of years, you shall increase its price, and according to the number of years, you shall diminish its price. For he sells to you according to the number of years of the crops. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. So you shall observe my statute and keep my judgment and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the 7 years, since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce, then I will command my blessing on you in the 6th year, and you will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And you shall sow in the 8th year and eat all produce until the 9th year, until it produces, produce comes, and you shall eat of the old harvest. The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. But if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall be released. He shall return to his possession. I will now skip and go to verse 45. Moreover, you may buy the children of the strangers who dwell among you, and their families who are with you, which they beget in the land, and they shall become your property. And you shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them as a possession. They shall be your permanent slave. But regarding your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule over one another with rigor. Now if a sojourner or stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwell by him becomes poor, and sell himself to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the family, a stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near of kin to him in his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. Then he shall reckon with him who bought him. The price of his release shall be according to the number of years from the year that he was sold to him until the year of Jubilee. It shall be according to the times of hired servant for him. If there are still many years remaining, according to them, he shall repay the price of his redemption from the money with which he has bought. And if there remain but a few years until the year of Jubilee, then he shall reckon with him, and according to the years he shall repay him the price of his redemption. He shall be with him as a yearly hired servant, and he shall not rule with rigor over him in your sight. And if he is not redeemed in these years, then he shall be released in the year of Jubilee, he and his children with him. For the children of Israel are servants to me, and they are my servant, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Alright, there's a lot of stuff inside, but not to worry. I will explain in my sermon. But let us first commit the time to the Lord in prayer. And Father, Lord, we come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And there are so many mystery, there are so many prophetic revelation, Lord, in your word. And sometimes, Lord, we don't understand. But through your Holy Spirit, that you may open our eyes, that we may gain insight and revelation into your word. And begin to be discerning and discover, Lord, your prophetic plan, Lord, for the whole of mankind. And so this morning I commit the time to you. I just pray, Lord, that you will remove every spirit of stupor and any form of things that cloud our mind, Lord. You remove and you clear, and you begin to work in our spirit, begin to open our eyes and begin to motivate us, and Lord, just prick us, Lord, with your word, that we'll come to the senses, that we come to a sense of urgency, a sense of purpose and mission in our life. So this morning, Holy Spirit, come to glorify your Father, the Father and the Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today I want to speak on this subject called the meaning and the significance of Jubilee. The text, as you know, is taken from Leviticus chapter 23, one verse, and also the Leviticus chapter 25. Now, in the passage that we have read today, we can clearly see that the number 7 is being used repeatedly in the Bible. Now, we all know that in Bible numerics, the number 7 is associated with completion and perfection. God created the earth was 6 days, and then on the 7th day He rested. He sanctified it. And so that gives us a complete week of 7 days. Now, though the focus of my sermon, the climatic focus is on Jubilee, the number 50, I also would like to take time to explain the basic building block, and that is the number 7. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, and you shall not work on it. Now, this model is not just for the Jews or the Israelites, but is for all of mankind. The general concept of a seven-day week as a recurring time frame has remained universal. And so point number one is the seven-day week pattern is the optimum rhythm of life. You obey this rhythm and pattern and you will reap the well-being. You disobey it before too long, you will suffer the ill effects. Now, historically, this has been proven to be the case. Maybe some of you are not aware. Some countries in the past actually had tried to on a 3 or 4 working day week. For example, work 2 days and then rest a day, and that the cycle repeats itself. And then they found out that the economic output and the life outcome of this work pattern was inferior than those of the society that operates on the 7-day week calendar. And then on the other hand, there are countries that try to experiment with a week that is longer than 7 days. For example, in 1793, after the French Revolution, actually France adopted a 10-day week. And then the revolutionaries actually wanted to move away to anything that could do with the Bible. And so they moved away from the biblical pattern of a 7-day week. And so France experimented this 10-day week for about 12 years. And it had extremely disappointing and adverse impact on the society. And so there was a guy called Robert Palmer. He actually started the French Revolution. And he wrote a book called The War of the French Revolution. And he said this: during those years, the French society actually saw a significant drop in work productivity. And not only that, there was a high increase in injury, exhaustion and illness. And so more work animals also died of exhaustion, and there was an astounding higher increase. They died at an astounding higher rate. And so when people attempt to operate on a pattern other than the one that was ordained by God, the results were disastrous. So mankind would function best and is optimal when they are operating on the 7-day pattern. And a shorter week reduces productivity, while a longer week places unsustainable strain on the workers. And so in addition to the 7-day week pattern in Leviticus chapter 25, Lord also gave other instructions regarding the 7-year cycle and the 7 times 7 year cycle concerning their land. And so the context was this: the Israelites actually have just been delivered and set free from the Egyptian slavery. And they were en route to this promised land. God was about to bring them into the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And so it was God's plan that every Israelite family and clan would later be allocated land of their own. And so they had to be skillful to cultivate the land and actually grow food for their family survival. And so God instructed Moses to speak to the Israelites and say, when you come into the land that I give you, he says, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. In other words, God instructed them to operate on the economy by observing a calendar based on the working cycle of 7. And if you observe all these instructions, he says, their economy will function smoothly, the land would thrive and produce more than what they needed. And so everybody would have been cared for and provided, or rather, the land would also produce more than what they needed. And so everybody would have been, as I said, be taken care of. Now, however, if they did not obey the Lord, the poor would be exploited and the land would be eventually ruined. And so God gave this following instruction. And so the first law pertains to farming. I call it the law of farming. Every 7 years, the field is to be given rest. And for 6 years, they say you were allowed to sow, to cultivate, to harvest whatever crop or fruit that they wanted from the field. But in the seventh year, they were not allowed to work on the field or organize any sowing or harvesting. The land was supposed to rest or lie fallow for 1 year, in the seventh year. And so besides giving the land a year of rest, it is also a year of rest for the people and the animals. And so it was just plain good ecology and agriculture. Giving the land a rest 1 year out of seven would help to restore the vital nutrients to the soil, which normally will be depleted after 6 years. And so the natural question that people ask is this: how would one get the food supply in the sabbatical year if they do not do any systematic sowing or harvesting for that year? The answer that God gave, they had to trust God that will provide the extra bountiful harvest in the sixth year to see them through the seventh year. And also in the seventh year, the land might produce some of other crops that grew on its own without human sowing. And so these incidental crops would be accessible to everyone who needs it. Accessible to the family household, the employee, or any strangers or the poor had the right to eat from these incidental crops. And therefore, this called forth Israel to have a good deal of faith in their God. And when you look at Israel's history, after they possessed the promised land, for about 490 years, Israel did not obey God's commandment to let their land rest 1 year out of seven. And so the Israelites, in fact, were more interested to get ahead in life financially. And so what happened was they robbed God of the 77th year. And God later had to send this Babylonians to conquer and evict them out of the land. Of course, there are many reasons for evicting them out of the land. This is one of the many. And as a result, Israel would spend 70 years held in captivity in Babylon. Now, this was recorded, and this was the reason that was given. It was recorded for us in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21. If some of you are interested, you can go to that portion of the scripture to read it. This is not something that I guess. This is something that was written in the Word of God. And so the punishment that God gave was not out of his whims and fancy. It was in accordance to the number of sabbatical years that they have robbed God. So what lesson can we learn so far from this account? And so the lesson I suggest to you is this: whatever we rob from God, we can never keep it to enjoy ourselves. Sooner or later, there will be a payback period. Do not think that you can get away with it. As a nation, the sin caught up with Israel only after 490 years. The Jews squeezed the land to obtain the extra harvest and money every Sabbath year for about 490 years, only to end up paying it later in destitution and captivity for 70 years. When they robbed God, eventually they robbed themselves of the spiritual and material blessing. And that is why Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Taxes belongs to Caesar, the government, and tithes belongs to God. In other words, render your taxes due to the government and render your tithes due to God. Now, the next instruction pertains to a seven cycles of 7 years. That means 49 years. God says that after going through the seven cycles of 7 years, the 50th year will be the year of Jubilee. They are to blow their trumpet on the 10th day of the seventh month, the Day of Atonement. And so this Jubilee, the 50th year, is a very special year of celebration for various reasons. The number one reason, it is a year of release or liberty for all the slaves and bond servants. Their release on the Day of Atonement represents freedom for all the slaves. And on this day, all Jews were required to release any servant or bond servant that they own. and all the bondservants will be freed from their slavery and bondages, and all their outstanding debts would be cancelled. It was a free gift to the people. It was not something that they deserved, not something that they earned, but something that God gave them. Now, how did this come about? And in the olden days, when you went bankrupt and had nothing to pay, the last resort was to sell yourself as a slave to pay for those debts. And the maximum period of slavery would be 50 years, no more than that. And so this Jubilee law of 50 years protect them from perpetual slavery. This release and forgiveness of debt, to us, it has a spiritual parallel. Once we were slaves to sin, and Satan, and we were slaves in a way to Satan until Jesus came into our life to forgive and to release us from sin. And without Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we remain slave to sin and bondage to Satan. And it is through this his sacrifice that we have this freedom from sin and the kingdom of darkness. And Jubilee is about forgiveness. We are released just like those slaves were released from their enslavement. No wonder it is proclaimed on the Day of Atonement, the Day of Repentance, the most solemn day for the Jewish calendar. And Jesus came to atone all the sins of humanity. If you read Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, the Lord's Prayer, Jesus talks about God forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, those who owe us. And if you refer to Luke chapter 11, verse 4, a similar passage about the Lord's Prayer, and it brings a meaning a little bit clearer. It is connected to atonement and also repentance and forgiveness. Luke chapter 11, verse 4, it says that, "Forgive us of our sin, for we also forgive those who are indebted to us." You see, that Christ has set an example for us to follow, and likewise, God commanded us to forgive others who sin against us. And Jubilee will be celebrated with a big bang and celebration, and or rather jubilation. In ancient times, all slaves would look forward to the Day of Jubilee. They just can't wait for the Day of Jubilee. Now, besides physical slavery, there is another form of slavery called spiritual slavery. And most non-Christians do not realize that they are actually under bondage and slavery to sin and the kingdom of darkness, because they live in a relatively affluent world. And these people have been deceived, and they have been intoxicated by the illicit pleasures of life. And most would adopt the attitude, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, lest we die tomorrow." And most, and little did they realize that after death, that they are going to face the most evil and sadistic slave master, the devil, in the pit of hell. And so now let's move to the second reason why Jubilee is very special. It is a year of return and restoration of land and family. Every slave and bondservant is to return to his property and his family. It is no good, or rather, it is good to be released from your debt and freed from your bondages and slavery. But then, in a mainly agricultural economy, in order to have a bright future and hope, you need a field to sow, to cultivate, and to harvest. And so for the Israelites, God has ordained that after Israel took possession of the promised land, every family and clan members would be allocated a piece of land that is big enough for them to build their houses, grow their crops for their livelihood. In other words, no one is left out. Land ownership is 100% except for the tribes of the Levites and the priests. And so God instructed the Jews to institute a law whereby the maximum lease for any land is 50 years. There is no such thing as a freehold land. And should a property be sold for any reason, or due to financial hardship, the land would always go back to the original and the rightful owner or their descendant after 50 years. And because of this law of Jubilee, Whenever a piece of land was sold, the number of the remaining years left to the next jubilee would determine the price of the property. And this land makes it impossible for any ruthless businessman to accumulate a vast land holding, bringing some people into a vicious cycle of perpetual poverty trap. And this law will ensure that there is no extreme disparity between the very rich and the very poor. Even the poor Israelite or the poorest Israelite family would eventually receive the land back and given the opportunity to work on the land to restart again. In short, this brilliant system will prevent monopolization and exploitation. And God has blessed this world with tremendous amount of resources, food, minerals, wealth for everyone, many times over. And it will not end up in a situation where the super rich will exploit the weak and the poor. Today, the world is under the sway of the devil, and it is a world of greed and exploitation. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And according to statistics, in 2016, the top richest men, 62 of them, owned 50% of the world's wealth. And then 1 year later, 2017, just 8 of the richest men on earth owns the wealth of 3.6 billion people, about 50% of the world population. What a wide extreme disparity between the extremely rich and the poor and the weak. Now it should be noted, also noted, that an impoverished Jew who sold himself or his property need not have to wait until the year of Jubilee to redeem his freedom or his property. Because in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23 to verse 28, and also 47 to 50, says that his kinsman or his relative can redeem him of and his property. And then he gives the qualifications of a redeemer. There are three qualifications in this chapter. He must be a kinsman or relative. He must have the ability to pay. And he must be willing to pay. And so this law of jubilee and advanced redemption actually introduces a prophetic picture of the Lord Jesus, who later became the kinsman redeemer for the whole of humanity. And so let us now review the chart that I have here. As I said, there are three qualifications for a kinsman redeemer. He must be a relative, able to pay, and willing to pay to redeem someone in bondage or in slavery. And we relate this to Jesus Christ, who is the kinsman redeemer for the whole of humanity. Now, because we are in slavery, in bondage to the kingdom of darkness, we need a kinsman redeemer. So he must first be a kinsman or relative. Now, an angel cannot be a kinsman because he's not one of us. He's not human. Neither can God on his own be able to redeem us because he's not one of us. That is the law of, that's a qualification for a redeemer. And so we come back to the point, there must be a man on earth. But there's no man on earth because all were born in sin. This relates to point number two. And so the Son of God, Jesus, had to become a man. That is why he became a man. And then come back to the second qualification. As I said, no man able to pay because all were born in sin since the day of Adam. And so only Jesus, the sinless one, is able to pay. The sinless can redeem the sinful. A sinful cannot redeem a sinful man. And so what is the price? The sinless must die for the sinful. So death and the blood of Jesus on the cross. And then the third thing is, must be willing. Now, this is not just a very trivial question. And you notice that Jesus did not die as a baby, even though King Herod tried to kill him, but God forbid, not only to protect his life, but if he died as a baby, is of no, and is not able to redeem us, because it's not out of your own voluntary submission, out of your own free will. A little baby cannot exercise his or her will. Neither can a person just die and murdered and considered, you know, be a redeemer. Because again, that is not out of your own will. You just died because someone murdered you. And that's why there are many occasions in the gospel that Jesus was nearly killed by someone else, and God protected him. But he must be an adult to exercise that voluntary submission. That is why when they came to arrest him, he voluntarily submitted. He did not resist, because he was willing to die on the cross for all humanity. Now in Leviticus chapter 5, it only highlights these three aspects of a kinsman's redeemer. There are also other aspects or obligations of a kinsman's redeemer dealt with in other parts of Leviticus. It pertains to Jesus requiring to redeem humanity as his bride to maintain the human lineage. And also, the other requirement is to avenge for the murder of humanity by judging Satan and his evil cohort. Now, because today's sermon focuses on Leviticus 25, I will only mention these additional requirements in brief passing. I will just go back to Leviticus 25 to focus on my subject of Leviticus, on the Jubilee. Now, so not only a slave is released from his bondage of slavery, he is given land and property, another chance, another opportunity to rebuild his life, his well-being, and to start afresh. And therefore, the 50-year Jubilee is a big reset button for everyone. It is a year of return and restoration. And the number 50 is very significant. Why did God choose the number 50? Now, it is not something random. Now, the first reason is because most people would have a lifespan of more than 50 years. So if the Jubilee is 50 years, it means that every generation would have an opportunity to experience Jubilee. Jesus is the kinsman redeemer who came to secure the Jubilee for us. And we can be released from our slavery and bondages to Satan and the kingdom of darkness, to be given another chance and opportunity again. And God wants every generation to repent and to come to the knowledge of God. And through Christ, God doesn't wish anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, there's another significance for the number 50, and it is prophetic. I will tell you at the very end of the sermon. And the third reason for the Jubilee is because it is a year of rest and renewal. After going through 49 years, experienced a total of 7 years of Sabbath, God requires that the Jews to have an extra year of rest during the year of Jubilee. It means that the few will go to rest for 2 years in a row. Again, the question is, where do they get the food supply for the two consecutive years of sabbatical or Sabbath? Again, God promised that if they follow his schedule, he will provide a bountiful crop harvest in the 49th year, such that there will be enough to cover for the two sabbatical years. This is really stepping out in faith in a greater way. One begins to reflect in a deeper way. How was the land get renewed and regenerated after every 6 years? By allowing the ground to lie fallow, unplowed and uncultivated. By trusting God, by resting in God, it was refreshed, it was replenished, and it was renewed. And you begin to pause for the past 49 years, men will come to realize that it has always been God who does it and not of oneself. That God has always been faithful. And so the extra sabbatical year to rest in Him will rejuvenate and revitalize us. It will give us the renewal, a new lease of life. And once we take a bigger step of faith, of obedience to rest in Him, God will cause us to have a deeper revelation of God and also ourselves. And in the process, we will have a deeper trust in God. We begin to mature. We realize that we are not important as we think we are. We learn to totally rest in God and trust in God, that He is God and we are not. And we learn to listen to His voice before we take any initiative. And we begin to know in the heart that He is a vine and we are the branches. Not in the head, in the heart. And that without Him, we can do nothing. And we come to fully realize that it is God who makes Jubilee possible for us. The wonder when Jesus was handed the book of prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book of Isaiah. He located the verse that talks about Himself. And He proclaimed liberty to humanity. Chapter 4, verse 18, Luke, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then Jesus closed the book. Jesus promised in this passage the very same characteristics of Jubilee. Preaching the good news to the poor, the destitute, the broken, and those who are enslaved. He proclaimed release and freedom to those who are imprisoned, enslaved in servitude. And proclaimed the acceptable year of the Lord. And that is the year of God's favor. And He said that we don't have to wait for 50 years for that to happen. We can have this individual release and freedom from the devil right now. And we can have this rest and renewal right now. And we don't have to wait. And when we invite Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we can start to have this freedom from the ways of the world. Because in baptism, when we go under the water, we are buried. We bury the old man that is in us. And we come up a new creation with a great hope and a future in Christ Jesus. And we can look forward to the day of the establishment of His God's kingdom on earth. And the Bible says the Jubilee starts with the sounding of the trumpet. And there will be this grand Jubilee, the sounding of the seventh trumpet that usher in the return of the Lord Jesus. And then the whole world will revert to the original and the rightful owner, God the Creator of the heavens and the earth. When will that grand finale of Jubilee be? The question they may be asking. And so I now come to prophetic significance of the number of Jubilee, the number 50. Now there are two symbolic numbers in the Bible. The first number is Jubilee, the number 50. The second one is number 120. And so, this is the chart that I was showing you. It says in Genesis 6:3, when God was about to destroy the whole world, the whole evil world with a great flood, and He told Noah in Genesis 6:3, He says, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. And yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, I want to paraphrase this, because this has prophetic significance. And when God told Noah, "I give you 120 years before I wipe out the whole world with a flood, with the exception of you and your family," that was 120 years given to Noah. If you remove the word year and replace it with the time period, He is also telling us, the whole of humanity, He says that I'm going to give humanity 120 time period. And so I submit to you that God has allocated 120 Jubilee for humanity. That means that Jesus will bring in the grand finale, the grand final Jubilee, 6,000 years after Abraham, or rather Adam, sorry. How did the number 6,000 come about? As I say, 120 jubilee, 120 times 50, you get 6,000 years. And all the land, planet Earth, will return to the original and rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though you are buying and selling properties freehold, let me tell you this. In the eye of God, this is not freehold. Jubilee. God just leased the land to the whole of humanity. He created it, He owns it. And so, Jubilee here is a picture of God, what God is trying to do in His prophetic calendar. Now, for those who have been with us for many years, you understand that I've always explained these 6,000 years. Now, when you read the Bible from all the different facets, they all converge to this number 6,000. Just a reminder for those who have been with us, I explained to you in the past that God created the heaven and the earth for 6 days and He rested on the seventh day. Even though God created it in the literal 24-hour day, it is also a prophetic, because later on in 1 Peter chapter 3, God says, one day is unto the Lord 1,000 years. And so I've explained to you how that it was prophetic in the creation of 7 days. It's also prophetic that He has given humanity 6,000 years, and then He rested on the 7 day. So if you trace this calendar, you have 6,000 years for humanity, and after that you enter in the millennium, which coincides with what is written in the book of Revelation. And you look closely, the first 2,000, there's a symmetry here. The 6 days is divided into 2 days each, and then the first 2,000 days of 2,000 years is the era of God the Father. That means the focus of God's work in creation is coming up with the Father of humanity and also the Father of faith. And so, you have Adam, the Father of humanity, and then after 2,000 years, Abraham appeared and God raised him up to be the Father of faith. So, it's the focus of the work is of the God the Father. And then, of course, Abraham was asked to sacrifice the begotten son, and Isaac here is actually a type of Jesus Christ. So now begins, after 2,000 years, the era of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. From that point until Jesus appeared in the 80th Jubilee, which is about 4,000 years after Adam. And so that is the era of the Son. Not only is the era of the Son, is during this period, the Mosaic law came into being. That means they were taught to sacrifice the animals. And we all know the sacrifice of animals to God is a sign of the sacrifice of the Son that is coming at the end of this era. So once that work is complete, that focus of the work of the Son, and then we come to the era of the Holy Spirit, which is the period that we are living right now. Because after Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit was sent, and this is the church age, and this is the era of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will execute all the will of the Father and the Son, according to the exact detail, and bring the whole of humanity into close of the chapter. And then that's when Jesus will appear. And so, you can see, looking from creation and redemption, and one day is to 1,000 years. That gives us that converging point. And now we look at what we call the perspective of Jubilee. Now you see that Jubilee is 120 Jubilee, 50. Is 6,000 years. It also comes to the conclusions of at the end of 6,000 years. And so, at the end of this, what happened is Christians will be allocated their land on earth. And they will rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. And the earth will enjoy 1,000 years of rest, because during this period, Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit. And so, besides this jubilee, we also can see that there are other works that are associated during the course of associated with jubilee. And that work of jubilee is related to release, return, restoration, rest, or renewal. Now let us look at some of the snippet of the work of jubilee carried out in the course of history on the nation of Israel. And you can see that this timetable, approximate timing, comes in multiples of 50. May not be exactly that year, but thereabout. And so let me now show you. So after raising up what you call the 40th Jubilee, raising up Abraham the father of faith, so he is like a model for all of us, because righteousness is accomplished by the faith in Jesus Christ, in God, not through works of man. And so it's like a regeneration. And through this faith, you know, humanity will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after the 50th Jubilee, something happens. What happened was during this period, after the third or fourth generation of Abraham, the nation of Israel actually came into Egypt, and then they became slave to Egypt. And so they were in slavery. Next click, please. And so after 10 Jubilee from Abraham, or the 50 Jubilee from Adam and Eve, God began to initiate another plan of Jubilee. And that is to raise up Moses to free Israel from the Egyptian slavery. And so after the Egyptian slavery, what happened was Israel went into the promised land, and they come into a era of kings. They have become kingdom. And so during that period, they have many surrounding enemies. And the Philistine is one of the, what they call, main enemies. And God raised up a man called David. Had he conquered all the surrounding enemies, that brought them into subjection. And then, since then on, he passed it on to the son, and Israel enjoyed an unprecedented period of peace and prosperity. And so that is Jubilee, because it's a period of peace, rest from the enemy. And then after that, what happened was the kings later on, after Solomon, were unfaithful, and God had to punish them and teach them a lesson. They were dispersed to the different parts of the world. And then they lost their home. They lost the land. And then what happened was, in the 70th Jubilee, God stirred the heart of this king, a Persian king, even though he's a foreign king, Cyrus, to issue a decree to send back the Jews to restore Jerusalem. And you can see then finally the 80th Jubilee, Jesus came into the scene. And so we can see the whole history of mankind, how God actually brought forth the work of Jubilee in the nation of Israel. Now I shall not repeat the final Jubilee that we are all expecting, which is within a few decades from now. The grand final Jubilee. Suffice to say that these things described here in Leviticus about Jubilee is a work of release, work of return, work of restoration, work of renewal and rest. All coincide with God's plans to do, and is written in other parts of the scripture. And so in conclusion, Jubilee is a free gift from God to humanity who are in slavery. And we do not have to work for it, though it is a free gift to us, but it costs God His only Son, Jesus. He paid His life to secure our Jubilee, that we may have this eternal life of bliss with God in eternity. And the grand final Jubilee is drawing nigh. And though the Bible says that we do not know the exact year, but we know the season. In other words, we know the general time frame. And when we study the Bible from the different perspective, as I said, all consistently point to Jesus' second coming within a few decades from now. And so it means that it is either my generation, if I live long enough, or my children's generation. And we all look forward to that day. Now that you have a better understanding of Jubilee, next week I'm going to speak on the topic of Israel and Jerusalem. It is no coincidence that last year, December 2017, President Trump of the United States of America, the world superpower, took an unpopular step to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. I was watching closely the year 2017. I thought, would it come? I don't know exactly what form it will come, but I know something pertaining to Israel, some significant news, some significant things are going to happen pertaining to Israel. I waited until December, and it came. It shocked me. I thought nothing is going to significant is going to happen. It came, December 2017. You will again see how Jubilee, the number 50, feature in God's prophetic calendar. If you look at the history of Israel, and so may God help us to discern His prophetic calendar and not be sleeping. The time is urgent. Do not think that everything is okay because things can suddenly happen. If you remember the tsunami, Boxing Day tsunami, just suddenly God shook that part of the world and the wave just went to all the nations, surrounding nations, and about at least 250,000 people died. So don't think that nothing is going to happen just because right now it's relatively peaceful. Things can just happen suddenly within a day. Within the days and weeks, pandemic can just strike. Within days and weeks, there can be super volcano eruption all over the world. That suddenly, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Let us be ready. Amen.